Hi, this is Dean Kuntz. Welcome to the podcast. Come in, pull up a virtual chair, and sit down for a few minutes. Among the questions that I most often ask are, where do you get your ideas? And I sometimes say a little story in Cleveland, because that's one of the hardest questions ever to answer. You don't know where those ideas come from, and sometimes you do. Sometimes the idea hits you just a fragment, just an interesting idea for a story that I would call premise rather than a plot. And then you just begin, and the characters come to you and other things come to you. But where that little premise came from is mysterious. But at other times, the ideas come to you in a recognizable way, and you can go back and say, well, I know where that one came from. It was a certain kernel that was planted, and then the stalk grew from it. In the case of The Husband, my latest book, I'd long time wanted to write a novel about a guy who was a good man, somebody you'd really like, somebody who tried to live his life the right way, but who had been raised in a very difficult environment, and been raised by parents who were psychologists, who had their theories about child rearing, and had raised their family in a just appalling manner. And some people do this, actually. They raise their children according to their psychological theories that have not been proven, and publish papers about it, sometimes showing the wreckage of their children, and not seeming to care about that. So it struck me as an interesting thing to do, and I wanted this to be also a man who had been raised in an entirely materialist environment, who had no sense of a larger view of life. And he was a good guy, and he was a happy guy, but there were big things missing in his life, and he doesn't quite recognize it as the story opens. And that's the case with Mitch in this book. He's in love with his wife. He thinks he has everything. But one of the things he's missing in life is a sense that evil is real, that there is evil in the world with a capital E. And in the course of this story, he's going to discover it, and it's going to enter his life. And I wanted to tell a story about a man who discovers the existence of evil that can't be explained by psychologists, that can't be explained by, oh, the villain had a bad childhood, and that's why he's become so mean. No, he encounters evil that's pure and real and that takes joy in itself, takes pride in itself, and preens over itself. And in the course of discovering this evil, I wanted to write a story about a man who, as he recognizes real evil in the world and comes to terms with its existence and the need to resist it, also begins to recognize in the world a deeper kind of mystery than he saw before and a deeper beauty than he ever saw before. And that idea, which isn't much of an idea, it's a character really, knocked around in my head for years. And then one day I was reading a newspaper article about a kidnapping, and it was your typical story about a kidnapping, somebody of wealth had had somebody they loved kidnapped. And all of a sudden I thought, wouldn't it be interesting if somebody who didn't have resources had a family member kidnapped, a child, a wife? And the kidnapper said, look, we want $2 million from you. And he said, I don't have $2 million. I've got $11,000 in the bank. You're nuts. What are you expecting of me? And he said, well, you'll find a way. And they're very calm about it. They tell him he will find a way. And then at that moment, I thought, well, he'd still take this as a joke. And into my head came the notion that while he's on the phone with him, he's standing outside. They call him on a cell phone. And they say to him, you see that man across the street walking the dog? And he looks, sees the man walking a dog, and suddenly the man walking the dog is shot to death. And the kidnapper on the phone says, that's just to tell you how serious we are. So now he knows it can't be a joke, it can't be a hoax, and he can't get $2 million. What's going to happen with him? So I began The Husband with that kidnapping story in the newspaper tied to that old idea of writing about somebody who discovers evil, and by discovering evil finds a mysterious death to life, and has his life change in a positive way through a terribly stressful experience. That's where The Husband came from. But then, when I try to get to that point, the character will tell me where it's going. And I had no idea where this was going, day by day. So when the surprises come, they come for me as much as they will for the reader. With a book like Life Expectancy, the idea for that book I can trace back because I was in L.A. at a meeting of film producers and had to drive home, and I'm homicidal every time I come out of a meeting with film producers, and so I felt like shooting somebody in traffic because I couldn't shoot the film producers. They may be business partners of mine, and I turned on the CD player in the car, and my wife had it loaded with old Simon and Garfunkel albums and Paul Simon albums. And so I was sitting listening to Paul Simon, and one of the songs he sang was a song called Patterns. It's one of his older songs. And I was listening to it, and in Patterns there's a line that says, my life is made of patterns that can scarcely be controlled. And for some reason that sparked in my head the idea of a book about a guy who knows that there are going to be certain terrible dates in his life. And he doesn't know what's going to happen to him on those dates, but he does know that something terrible is going to happen on five different days. And his whole life up to his 30th year is lived in sort of anxiety about what's going to happen on those dates. I didn't even know what that thought meant, but about 10 miles later in the car, I'd come up with the idea that on the night of my character's birth, his grandfather would be in the same hospital dying, and he would have had a stroke and be unable to speak. But just before his death, he would sit up in bed and make predictions about his grandson, who was in another wing of the hospital, being born. He would predict his birth weight, his birth length, his sex. He would predict that the boy would be born with syndactyly, which means fused digits, and that some of his toes would be fused at birth. And then he would make these predictions of these five terrible days in his grandson's life. And this would be made in front of another family member, and then he would die. And because the boy would be born at that weight, at that length, with the fused toes, everyone would know the rest of the predictions must surely be true. There will be these five terrible days that he has to beware of. But he doesn't know what's happening on those days. And by the time I had driven halfway home from the film meeting, the whole idea for life expectancy was in my head. And readers have written me more letters on that book almost than any others except Watchers and Odd Thomas. If I hadn't been listening to the music of Paul Simon, the idea for that novel would never have occurred to me. From the Corner of His Eye came to me because I read a lot about quantum mechanics. I'm fascinated with quantum theory and that view of the universe, which has given us television, almost all of our high technology, comes out of discoveries in quantum mechanics. And one thing that fascinates me in quantum mechanics is the idea that there are parallel universes next to ours that are very similar to ours, that some of them differ very minutely from ours and others differ dramatically, and that there are literally an infinite number of those universes, and that every time something is done here that is a choice that involves an event that could have gone one way or another, there's a split in the universes and a new universe is formed and where the event took place in a different way. There are a lot of quantum experiments that tend to prove the existence of this kind of universe or this kind of structure to reality. And one day it occurred to me that in a way there's a lot in quantum mechanics that is completely compatible with religious belief, with theology. And I wanted to write a novel that showed the interconnectedness of our lives and how quantum mechanics actually proves a created universe, and how some of the things we believe, if you're Christian or Jewish particularly, that some of the things that are believed in those faiths actually are supported by some things in quantum mechanics, but you have to look at them a different way when we're used to looking at them. From the Corner of His Eye came to me in that fashion. The Taking was in my head for a long time, that there would be an alien story that would be different, an alien contact story, an alien invasion story that would be very different because it would be about an alien attempt to terraform the Earth, to transform the Earth into a place where our flowers and trees and animal species, all our flora and fauna, are overwhelmed by alien flora and fauna, and they begin to transform the planet into the place that's more suitable to them and is very hostile to us. But I never could figure out an upbeat ending to that, and I don't like to write downbeat endings to book, and I certainly don't like to write books where the characters are going to lose their world, and in the end, they lose it. So what was the point of the story? It has a beginning that's the same as the end. And then one day, it suddenly dawned on me. I was reading something by Arthur C. Clarke, and he had a thought in it that if we ever did encounter alien intelligences, their technology would be so vastly superior and different to ours that it would look like magic to us, and it would look like we were having a supernatural encounter, that we might not even recognize them as extraterrestrial intelligences, but as supernatural entities. And I suddenly thought the reverse of that is what I needed for the taking. What appears to be an alien invasion in the taking, because we have grown up in a culture that has saturated us with alien invasion stories, might turn out not to be an alien invasion story at all in the end, and might turn out to be the biggest supernatural event in the history of mankind. And then I knew I had an ending to the book that was also a twist, but something that would make readers think and end the book on a certain note of delight. I don't know where all these ideas keep coming from, but thank God they do, because I never want to have to get real work. Thanks for listening to this installment of the Dean Koontz Podcast. My new novel, The Husband, is in stores now, and I hope you pick it up, and I hope you enjoy it. And be sure to visit my website, deankoontz.com.